Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says this. It says, "For the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." And I think that's been demonstrated with these two young men's testimony today. You notice that they just said it was at the purity study, it was at Renew Weekend, and that's when the Word has been proclaimed and the Word works in people's lives. And we want to set the Word loose this morning that the Lord might work in our lives. A fire in your heart is a scriptural concept. It's my observation that we evangelical types are running to and fro, chasing after every new wind. Now, I don't think we're chasing after every new wind of new doctrine, but I think there's a breeze blowing in evangelicalism, and we want to be trendsetters. We want to become sought after conference speakers. We want to find fame within the small circle of evangelicalism. And we find ourselves jumping on board with every new fad of faith, and we quickly change buses, readily taking the next route because it might bring the satisfaction that we're looking for. And I also observe that I think we have marketed the name of Jesus in such a way that we've used it and perhaps abused it. We have called Jesus our homeboy. Have you seen that t-shirt? Jesus is my homeboy, my personal servant. We have called Him our best friend. We have made Him the marriage saver, the finance guru, and our weight loss mentor. We have used Jesus in every way. And I'm not saying He doesn't work in those areas. He does. But our draw to Jesus is not what He can do for us. But you see, it is a life laid down before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, when we make those things running to and fro for the next quick fix, our mode of operation, the bonfire of God in our life quickly becomes a flicker, and sometimes in an instant. And in the end, we are a mile wide and an inch deep. We know something about every new author, about every wave in the church, but we don't walk with the Lord. And I want to encourage you in this series to tend the fire of your heart. That's why it's called Tending the Fire of Your Heart. It's a series of messages to help us burn steadily. We want to settle our spirits. We want to find the slow, holy burn of knowing God assuredly. Our goal is to focus on the pure, personal, spiritual fervor found in the life of every true believer. When I say 98.6, automatically you think of something. You think of that's the normal temperature of the human body. Every mom knows that. Technically, 98.6 is known as normothermia. Normothermia. That's the temperature of our body when we're well. You know, your body does have a fire inside, don't you? That's why we have a temperature, 98.6. And if it doesn't burn steady, all kinds of things can happen. When it begins to burn hot and we get a fever, that's known as hyperthermia. When it begins to burn too low and the fire cools and we get the chills, that's called hypothermia. Our temperature and our metabolism are related. It has to do with that fire in us, physically the fire. Metabolism is the sum of the physical and chemical processes by which our bodies maintain themselves, producing available energy for us. And when our fire burns too low or our fire burns too hot, things change. In a general sense, food is our fuel, measured in calories. We put some on the fire, the body burns them up, and if it stays at 98.6 and we maintain things well, we remain healthy. My observation says this: the fire in us determines much about our health and our well-being. Realizing this, that anything that has a beating heart has a fire inside. Now, I'm sure even plant life has some sort of metabolism, but we're not going to get into the plant life. We want to stay with the animal life or the mammals. Anything that has a beating heart has a fire. And if there is life, there is a fire. Take away the fire, there's no life. Take the temperature of a cadaver, it's not 98.6. It would be room temperature. But there's no life because there's no fire. This message is entitled, A Slow, Holy Burn. It's not about 98.6. It's not about normothermia. It's not about hyperthermia or hypothermia. It's about the spiritual fire in you. And we'll make application as we close. Consider these three scriptures. They'll be on the wall for you. Exodus chapter 3. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. And so he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I'll now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush, and he said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not draw near to this place. Take the sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. And moreover, I am the God of your father, the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Now there's a biblical example of the fire of God outside the human body. That's the example of a burning bush that was not consumed. But I want you to begin to meditate on that. Keep that in the back of your mind. How could that bush be there and not be consumed? It's because it wasn't an ordinary bush and an ordinary fire. It was the fire of God. Another example, Exodus chapter 13. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night, a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. God was steady before the people. Cloud by day, fire by night. A fire that didn't appear to have any fuel. That's because it was no ordinary fire. It was the fire of God outside of you. Another passage. Exodus 24. When Moses went up on the mountain, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. For 6 days the cloud covered the mountain, and on the seventh day the Lord called Moses from within the cloud. To the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. Then Moses entered the cloud as he went up on the mountain, and he stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. When the Israelites looked upon the top of Mount Sinai, they saw a fire. And it appeared to be a consuming fire. But Sinai did not burn up. But there was this mountaintop consuming fire that was not like any other fire, because this was the fire of God. And so I want you to see then that having a fire representing God is a scriptural thing. And having a fire that burns within us is a scriptural thing. So how do we get the fire of the burning bush and the fire of the Shekinah glory and the fire from Mount Sinai to the fire of our heart? You remember our key verse, Luke 24:32. It says, did not our hearts burn within us? Was there not a fire in us while He talked with us on the road, when He opened the Scriptures to us? And so somehow we see that fire of God dwells within. Next week, I'll speak about in relationship with God. And then the fire of God in you. We'll look at the day of Pentecost. And then lastly, staying close to the fire. Today, I simply want to talk about this fire of God. Describe it. See what we can learn. Well, I have said, first of all, that this fire is a slow fire. And that's like God. God is slow. So I want us, first of all, to understand this. God is never in a hurry. Can you think of a scripture where God was frazzled and had to get something done? somebody backed God into the corner and he said, oh, what am I going to do? I got to... God is never out of control. He's never in a hurry. Read the creation account. Consider creation. The Scripture says that God, in 6 days, made all that was made. And if you read the account of creation, at the end of each day, the Scripture says, and He looked upon what He made, and it was good. And I have to read between the lines to some extent, but I think He was like any craftsman. And He had a plan, and He executed the plan, and He looked back and said, I'm happy to have my name on that. He took His time when He made all that was made, and He was glad. He didn't have to go to work early. He didn't have to stay after. He didn't have to hurry to get it done. He didn't have to, you know, to use a dryer. He didn't have to, you know, melt things quickly. He spoke it into existence. And then the Scripture says, at the end of the 6 days of creation, He looked upon all that He had made, and it was very good. And so I would say, understand, because God spoke the world into existence, He could have said, let it be, and it would have been. All of it at once. But instead He took His time, day at a time, not in a hurry, because God's way is slow. Now, don't just consider creation, consider His return. Think about that. Clear back in the first century, some people were saying to the Christians, oh, you say your Jesus is coming again? So where is He? And in response, Peter wrote this in the book of 2 Peter chapter 3. He said, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but He's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And so some people would say, well, where is God? If Jesus returned to heaven in A.D. 30, here it is, 2010. They've been saying since the first century, He's coming again, He's coming again, He's coming again. I heard it when I was a kid. I heard people say it now. Where is He? Well, we have to remember, God is slow according to our terms. Not too slow. He's perfectly slow. Understand, God is not bound by time. The Scripture doesn't say that to God 1,000 years is a day. If it said that, that would mean that time is quick in God's sight. Just a snap of a finger, a blink of an eye, because every millennium passes like 24 hours. Or if it said 24 hours is 1,000 years, time is awfully slow because every day drudges on. It says they're the same to God. He's not bound by time. He's not concerned with time. So we would see then that God is never in a hurry. The next characteristic of this fire, and it's like God also, is this, that this fire is holy, a slow, holy burn. The second thing I want to emphasize today is that God is not impressed with what man can accomplish without Him. Consider the Tower of Babel, and I want you to open your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis 11, following the flood, the people were told, go and spread out and possess the land. Well, everybody spoke one language, and there was this tendency to stick together and make a name for themselves. Genesis 11. Now, the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. Now, these people were no different than we are. Here they were, they said, let's build something high so that everybody can see it. Now, when it says into the heavens, it doesn't mean all the way to heaven. I think when we're a kid, we think these people were trying to build this ladder to get all the way up into heaven. It just means they wanted to make a name. From a distance, you could see it. And if you remember, about a year or so ago, I preached a whole sermon on high towers, and I had photographs of skyscrapers and the tower in Dubai that's almost a half a mile high. Men still are trying to make a name for themselves building high towers, and that's what this was about. And God wasn't threatened by this. I mean, the account begins to sound like, if we take it wrongly, like God said, uh-oh, I better do something. He knew they could never acquire His glory. And so here they were, refusing to spread out and possess the land. They wouldn't fulfill the great commission of that day. And God said, I'll do something about it. Look at verse 5. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built, and said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing they propose to do will be withheld from them. If I let this go, they'll just think they're the greatest, and they'll just do one thing after another to their own glory. And God took care of it in an instant. In verse 7, let us go down, us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech, and the Lord scattered them over the face of the earth. And so you see, God does not appreciate, He's not impressed with anything we can do with our hands. Now, I think it's interesting, we live in a day when, yes, we do not speak one verbal language, but through the world economy and world communication, man once again is able to communicate and speak one language, so to speak, and we're building high towers to ourselves all over the world. The globe has gotten smaller. I can communicate halfway around the world, which is as far as you can go, in an instant. Out of my office, I could get my iPod and do it sitting in church and be able to get a message back. And isn't it interesting that the more we speak one language, the more we seem to go away from God, just like these people, and make a testimony to ourselves. And listen, God is not impressed, because God is holy. Holy means dedicated to one thing, and there's one thing God's dedicated to, and that's His name. And when we make a tower to our own name and to our own glory, God will do something about it. In the New Testament, Acts chapter 17, the Apostle Paul in Athens said this, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and He does not live in temples built with hands. And He's not served by human hands as if He needed anything, because He Himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. And so about the time we think we're going to build a building for God to dwell in, the Scripture reminds us God does not dwell there. In fact, God does not need us to make anything for Him, because He is the one who made us. And He is jealous, and jealous of His name, and will not share His glory with anyone. And so understand, because He made us, life is sacred. A good platform to speak about abortion, but it doesn't end in our pre-birth or at our birth. All human life is sacred forever. So long as we should breathe, He is the author and the finisher. And it is not the life that is to be revered, it is the life giver who is to be revered. It is not the creation that is to be worshipped, it's the Creator who is to be worshipped. And it's always been the same. Just as He is dedicated to the fame of His own name, we too are to be dedicated to the same, not our name, not our fame, but His and His alone. Slow. God is never in a hurry. Holy, God is not impressed with what we can do with our hands. And the burn, in slow, holy burn, here's what I'd like to say. It's the fire inside of a man, not the fury on the outside of a man, with which God is most concerned. And I see, as I said earlier, the evangelical church, we're in a fury. We're just racing to and fro. And somehow we've taught each other, got to get to the bookstore, got to go to the internet, got to get that next video series, got to attend that next small group. And they're all great things. But if you're not tending the fire of your heart, it's all fluff. It just burns up and goes away. You go from the mountaintop to the valley in a flash. You're a mile wide and an inch deep. You might remember when Samuel was appointed to look for a king. Went to the house of Jesse. Brought this son and this son and this son. This one's the oldest. This one's the strongest. This one's the greatest. This one could do this. Samuel said, "No, that's not him. No, that's not him. No, that's not him." And finally, little David came by and he said, "That's the one." We knew him as a man after God's own heart. And we find there that God is not impressed with the outward appearance of a man. He's looking for the inward condition of his heart. He's looking for the fire, for that so holy burn in the midst of furious times. So we get so wrapped up in the outward life of performance and neglect the inner man. God is always, has always been, will always be concerned with the inner man first. For every prophet, for every apostle, for every preacher, for every person, He's always looking at your heart first. And it's for all time and all people. So I've said these three things. God is never in a hurry. He's slow. And the fire in us needs to be like God, slow burning. Secondly, God is not impressed with what man can accomplish without Him. Okay, because God's dedicated to one thing, His own glory, that makes Him holy. And that fire in us is a holy fire, dedicated to Him. You see, we can get fired up about a lot of things. You say, "Man, he's pumped for the Steelers or the Penguins or whatever it might be," and we say, "Fire!" Well, this is a dedicated fire to God and God alone. And then the burn. It's the fire inside, not the fury outside, that God looks at. So, tending the fire of your heart, I want to make three applications. Remember, God is never in a hurry, so you go slow. Somebody says, "What did Pastor Bob say today?" He said, "Slow down." That's what he said. Isn't it interesting in the Scripture says our lives are a walk. And when it speaks about it as a race, it's not a sprint, it's the marathon race that's spoken of. And you can do lots of Bible study about walks and marathons. But I find it interesting, it's not the kind of race where let's do the 100-yard dash and we win, I win, you lose, and go enter another race. It's we're all in the race together. We've got to make it the whole way. That's the goal. And so, we need to slow down a little. In our slowing down, one of the things I want to emphasize, and I'll really emphasize it as I close, is that fire in us. Earlier I said food is the fuel of the fire of our physical lives. This is the food of the fire of our spiritual lives. If you study the Scripture in the tabernacle, and we'll go back there in a few minutes, understand that the priestly duties, the regular priestly duties, were done morning and evening. I don't think it's a once-a-day book. I think it's a twice-a-day book. That's not a new revelation. That's a new conviction for an older man. To say, "I'm starting to get it." In the morning's not enough. And in the evening's not enough. It's every 12 hours or so, not every 24 hours or so. I need to do my duty as a priest. And I'll show you why that makes a lot of sense before we close. So slow down. Don't be so quick to flip the remote and get to the next Christian fix or to buy a ticket to the next concert or to run to the next conference. Just slow down, because here is the fuel that makes a difference. And if you have this, you don't need those things. They're wonderful and great, and I'll continue to go. But if you have those things and don't have this, you lost it. The fire went out. It's a pseudo fire. It's like eating Snicker bars every day. And that's all. And it works for a while, then your body changes, your energy goes away, and you wonder what happened. Slow down. Secondly, I said this. Remember, God's not impressed with what you can do without Him, so live first unto the Lord. Make God your number one relationship. Going back to the tabernacle, the priest had this turban hat that he wore, and it had a plate on the hat. Anybody know what the engraving said? It said, "Holy unto the Lord." Dedicated to God. One man for one purpose. All God's is what it said. And that was his banner. And I start to think, what's the banner over my life? Now, if somebody followed you around this week and said, "Okay, I'm going to make a banner, a name, a title for what happened in your life this week," what would it say? Holy means dedicated. Dedicated to the Lord. What would yours say? Dedicated to sports? Dedicated to money? Dedicated to sleep? You know, whatever it might be. What does your banner say? Holy unto what? And so I simply say, cultivate your relationship with God first and foremost. God is more important than your girlfriend. He's more important than your wife. He's more important than your kids. He's more important than me. You know, your relationship with the pastor or with the elders or with your best friends. Jesus Christ is number one. And then I said, remember, it's the fire inside of a man, not the fury outside of a man with which God is most concerned. So here's what I say in response to that. Let the fire of God burn in you. Not just on the outside. In you. Not just any fire, the fire of God in you. Started out talking about 98.6, and that is our normothermia, you remember? That's where we want it to be burning. Talked about our metabolism. Said that anything that has a heart beating inside has a fire inside. And if there is life, there is a fire. Fire goes out, no life. So here's the whole crux of today's message. So how about your spiritual life and your spiritual fire? The fervor in you. Is it there? Is it being tended? Or are you racing to and fro looking for it and missing it all the time? Is your system messed up? I see lots of people that get spiritual fevers. They get all fired up and all hot for God, and they go away and they come back from that conference or that concert and they want it to be that way all the time, and they look around and say, "Oh man, this church is dead. What's wrong with you people? We need to amp it up around here. We need to do it the way they did it." And pretty soon, when everybody doesn't come along, that person shows up 2 weeks later and they're down in the dumps and they're burnt out and their fire's burning low and they're saying, "Oh man." And they just go from one mountaintop to the next valley, mountaintop to valley. You see? And that's because that fire is not burning steady. And I've seen people get cold for a while. Scripture calls that lukewarm. And we tend, you know, or trend between those two things. Years ago, I'd have never said this. We want to be burning at normothermia. I never thought normal was normal. I thought we were supposed to stay on the mountaintop all the time and burn it up for God. And then wonder why you get burnt out. I thought about adding another message to this series about the prophets of Baal and Elijah. There's a good fire story there, isn't there? But you see, Elijah, that mountaintop experience, headed out. He didn't remember it was God's glory. He thought he was the only one. And what happens now? What's the world going to do without me? But you see, we want to burn at normothermia. I'm asking to consider your spiritual heartbeat. Because that's what God is concerned about. So maybe you need a fix. And I'd say, well, what can you do about that? I want us in our minds to go back to what we learned last week. We spent a lot of time talking about God's tabernacle and how it had the fence around it, and once you went into the courtyard, the first thing you ran into was the altar of sacrifice. And on that altar was a fire that burned up the animals that were slain, and you laid hands on that animal, its blood was shed, and it was burnt up for your forgiveness. And then the next thing you ran into was this water bowl, a laver, and that's where the priest did his cleansing. And we said this tabernacle system was not just for back then, that that's the picture of the reality of what happens now. So we took the altar of sacrifice and took Romans 1 and 12, 1 and 2 and said to present your body a living sacrifice to God once for all. We don't kill an animal, we give our life on the fire. And then we're cleansed, and we said that's like Christian baptism, but the reality is the cleansing that takes part in our life. And then we go into the building which had the holy place, and that's fulfilled in the church. Did you know that? It's all fulfilled in Christ in the church. We go into the church, there's the table of showbread. We remember the Lord's Supper. Over here was the lampstand, the Jewish menorah. That's the light of the world, the proclamation of the gospel. And in front of us, similar to one of these stands, it was 18 by 18, 36 inches high, was another altar. And what was it? The altar of incense. And it was on that altar, twice a day, the priest burned up this special spice, this special incense before the Lord. Behind that then was the curtain. Behind that, the Holy of Holies had the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God. Only the high priest went in there once a year. Well, here's what I'm saying to you. You need to rekindle that fire. It's not the altar of sacrifice. If you've laid down your life once for all, then you've laid down your life. If you've given your life to the Lord, you've given your life to the Lord. You don't need to go back and do it again and be rebaptized. What you need to do, now that you're resurrected from the altar because you're a living sacrifice, you become a part of the royal priesthood. You are a priest before the Lord. You don't go through another man, you go directly to God. That makes you a priest. New Testament principle, a New Testament truth. And the priest did duty in the holy place daily. And that's the fire. It's the altar of incense to which we must return to get the slow holy burn of our lives. Amazing. The fire in the altar of incense was brought from the fire of the sacrifice. Altar of sacrifice. Same fire. It's the same fire that cleanses you, that saves you, as sanctifies you. Holy Spirit. God is at work. And so here's what you need to do. You need to do your priestly duty. You need to return to the fulfillment of the typology of the tabernacle and become that priest. And give God what is due Him. And only what is due Him. Exodus chapter 30, here's what it said. Take fragrant spices, gum rosin, onycha, galbanum, and pure frankincense, all in equal amounts. Make a fragrant blend of incense, the work of a perfumer. It's to be salted and pure and sacred. Grind some of it into powder. Place it in the testimony of the tent of meeting where I'll meet you. It will be most holy unto you. And the warning is, don't ever take this home. Don't ever use it for perfume. Don't burn it in your house because you'll be removed from the assembly. It's dedicated. It's one. It's the only thing that God accepts. And you use something else in there, put a little cinnamon with it, burn something, it's called strange fire, and God will get you for that. Now the fulfillment, morning and evening before the Lord. It's not burning incense in your home. It's where you do business with God. It's hearing from God, His Word. It's speaking to God, prayer. It's glorifying God, praise. And listen, it's simple. It's time. Slow down. It's not looking up the 30-second devotional on the internet and downloading it so you can listen to it on the way to work. God's slow. He's into slow. We need to be into slow. The fire's a slow fire. And listen, when a slow fire is kept just right, and it needs to be turned up to be a consuming fire, all you do is add a little fuel. You don't have to kindle it again. You don't have to baby it because it's ripe and it's ready. And that's us. It's a fire in our heart. Slow and holy, dedicated to one thing, to God, and a burning that takes place. Just like they said, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us on the road when He opened the Scriptures to us? Now, we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. It's the heart of worship that we're going to sing today. We haven't sung that for a couple of years. And it says, Lord, you know, I come to You and I'm sorry for the thing I've made it, because I've made it about me and I've made it about noise and I've made it about style. But that's true of our lives. It's not just about what we sing. Lord, we've made it into something it's not meant to be. And maybe as I have spoken today, you have sensed a burning in your heart. There's some agreement that takes place. Something that says what He's saying is true. And I think that's the burning of the heart. Just like it happened to them, it's happening to us. And so today, we just want to do a couple of things. While we sing and offer an invitation, Jeff and Austin and Tyler will be preparing for the baptism. While we sing, our elders will come forward and we'll open the front here for anyone to come. You'd like to pray with someone, you'd like to confess a sin, if you would like to rededicate your life, if you'd like to yield your life for the first time, we invite you to come.